Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Shuri and Riri off of the new Wakanda Forever movie. Oh, I'm sorry, there's energy there.
Seriously, I don't know how they honestly they didn't go there with anybody, but yeah, vibes are there. What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? It's been like forever, but like, I mean, the Mercury reggaeton really fucked us up.
Seriously, like, how many just things can happen to a person all at once? This is wild.
To both of us too. Everything, like, and literally literally everything all at once. But we're back, hopefully, for the rest of the holiday season, even though it's super busy for both of us. But we're getting back to like life, and super excited to be back, even though like today has been giving me hell as well. So how about you,
dude? Same. You know, I got one of those colds that is going around LA, that everybody has that cold that's not quite the flu, not quite COVID.
Oh my god, yeah. All the little kids are like getting sleepy off of it. My little nephew was sick last week off that too. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't interact with children these days, but yeah, just everything. And then, I mean, I'm sure people who follow me on social media know this, but I was in like a freaking wheelchair for 2 weeks. That sucked ass. Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, you've had your share of issues.
Yeah, today still having them. Hopefully we can both walk and we're both mobile, but you know, like, none of that's promised in life. But hopefully we can just, like, you know, be people in the world a little bit easier. But it's been rough. So many things have come out since, and we've watched most of them, and I'm super excited just on what we're watching. What have you been watching that's super gay right now?
Oh my god, I feel like I'm like regressing, because I've actually started watching a couple of things on YouTube, like those, like, not really YouTube series, but like way overproduced ones. There's a Portuguese one or a Brazilian one, I mean, called Stupid Wife. That it's like, why am I even watching these things? But like, that's just the place that I fell into because I couldn't leave my house. And then there's a new one, only like the first episode is out. It's a one from Thailand called Gap.
The Gap.
Gap, the series. And that one, I guess, I found out about this somehow else, I forget how, but they have a thing where, not just in Thailand, but in general, where they have like, they put together a couple and then they do a bunch of different shows together as a couple, but it has to be the same characters or the same actors.
Really?
And so that's, I think, like, these two women have become that couple that has to be in everything together.
Wow. So they've put them together, and now they're in everything.
Yeah, which, not that they've been in a lot of things. I think this is literally their second thing, but they kind of almost got like recruited or chosen. They were like, "Oh, these two are these two have chemistry. Put them in everything."
Put them in everything together.
Yeah.
I heard of that one because of Twice Stan Twitter.
I imagine. Yeah, it's like more than I ever expected. As a person that comes from like the shows that you have told me about, like where they don't even get to kiss. And this one, like, that's like all they do.
Oh no, you should watch there's an actual canon lesbian, like, cute, fluffy K-drama on YouTube, along the same lines of The Gap, but not quite. You know, that one's a little more spicy. This one's more fluffy, and it's called She Makes My Heart Flutter, and it's on YouTube. I think it's only like 5-6 episodes, but it's really adorable. It's about a lesbian bar owner who sees her niece go into her own bar one day, and neither of them know that the other one is gay. So it's very cute and fluffy.
Interesting.
And very, very cute. Like,
yeah,
easy, fun watch.
I feel like there's probably quite a few that I have never heard of because I dismissed it because it's on YouTube. And now I'm like in a wormhole, you know?
Yeah, like, it's, like, where a lot of media goes, we know this, me and you know this, where a lot of good media goes for creatives that, like, this thing is, like, really funded, too. It's, like, funded by Lush, of all things.
That's what's just, so, it's weird. Why, like, when did they get so funded? Like, that's where I'm being thrown off. It's, like, a real production, you know?
Like, I don't know. I think it's just because it's gay. They can't show it on any, like, network TV. But, like, it's so well-written, produced, and shot that, and even acted that I'm kind of shook. I'm just going to, like, oh, wow. Just, like, The Gap. Like, it's stuff like that where you're just like, wow, what are they letting them do? But, you know, She Makes My Heart Flutter on YouTube. And The Gap is also on YouTube. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, I've been watching this reality Spanish TV show.
Yes, I'm already.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I even watch. But I'm here for it because I like reality TV.
I think it's called Love Lies, but I think it's called like Confianza in like Spanish.
They drop like 4 seasons at once or some shit, right, on Netflix.
Oh my god, I don't know. Glow got me into it. Our producer, she's my producer, and it's about like gay and lesbian couples that are like
exclusively history.
No. Oh, like they actually, it's straight, but it's actually inclusive. It has gay, 2 gay guys and 2 gay women, 2 queer women or 2 queer men. I say queer because like one of them initially, so what they do is they put them on this house, put them in a house, then they separate them. And they bring in their exes into the house.
Oh my God.
And it's, they bring in the exes and they separate the unfaithful and the faithful. So there's always one person in the relationship that is like a cheater and a liar, and there's one that's like not. And so they put all the cheaters and the liars in one house, and then they brought their exes to tempt them. And then they had all their current partners have to pay so they can see them like on a spy cam to see if they're being faithful or not. And of course they're not. And the woman initially goes in as a lesbian and comes out, I guess, discovering that she's a bisexual woman. But I mean, it's cool to me because it's all like, you know, spectrum, like, you know, sexuality is fluid, whatever, right? Like, who cares? Like, shout out to the bisexuals who listen to this and all the bisexuals in the world, you know, you're seeing bisexual rep. But I just thought it was like super interesting because it's like so horrible. It's like a train wreck. Like, it's the kind of shit we like to watch.
That's
train wrecks.
So messy. God,
it is the most, like, it's horrible though because like
they're paying real money.
It's real money, so they have to pay, like, I think they start off with like 50,000 euro, and then like they spend like 500 to 1,000 euro just to see what their partner's doing in the other house. And the money just keeps going down because they don't give a fuck about the money. They're like, no, show me. But it's really heart-wrenching because a lot of these people, you know, it's awful because these people are actually like, it's fucked because like there's always one person in their relationship that's very loyal, and they all put them together and they're boring and they're not doing anything. They're not cheating on their partner. They're just kind of like, how are they going to hurt me today? Like, it's God. So fucked up.
No.
But I can't stop watching it. It's horrible.
God, I mean, I guess I can't even. I think it's easier for me to watch straight people be awful, like on Love is Blind's latest season.
Oh God, shot in Dallas of all places.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently, like, one of them, anyways, that's for off camera stuff. That's for off audio stuff. Anyways, we're not giving y'all that tea. Maybe I subscribe to Patreon today. Maybe I'll start spilling some tea on that. But yeah, dude, like, and then they're finding out like all the did you watch it? Did you like
it? I did. I mean, sure, but I just hated them a lot more than previous seasons.
They were like the shittiest ones, honestly.
They were.
Like,
they were so
Barstool
bad.
Piece of shit. They're finding out SK and Raven. I mean, honestly, the tea on SK and Raven right now that's coming out is like allegedly.
No, it seems allegedly to be true Netflix. As fuck.
I mean, it seems to be true, but we don't know, and I don't know. They said they're going through some like lawsuits potentially, so that's why I'm saying like, allegedly.
Like, what are you suing each other for, anyways?
No. I think it's Netflix suing them for a breach of contract. Like, I don't think they were supposed to like date anyone for like, or at least
no,
talk about.
I was gonna say they probably were supposed to keep everything under wraps until our next reunion.
And SK didn't. SK was out here with all his white women, allegedly.
I mean, no, they're allowed to cheat and stuff. They're just not allowed to announce it or something like that.
Yeah, like they're not allowed to like say that they're just doing it for like money. And I guess they found out they were just doing it for money.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know they got paid to do. I knew Raven was doing it for, allegedly, for money.
Like, I mean, endorsements.
You know, I'm not knocking her hustle. Like, do what you gotta do, girl. I'm not mad at you for going on the show for a husband for some money.
Like, I don't know. I don't know, but all I know is that I just did not care for the men this season. They were awful.
All of them. All horrible of them. People.
Every single
the
one.
The women, though? Amazing.
Great. Yeah.
As per usual.
I don't think I have any complaints. Can't wait for them to finally spit out some gay shit, like, somehow, somewhere.
Yeah, they said there was like another show they said they're gonna be doing where
the one with the couples where one wants to get together, one doesn't, or whatever.
Yeah. They did that for straight couples in Austin, and that was fun to watch. Yeah. I'll tell you that. But I would love to watch that with, you know, queer folk. That would be amazing.
Literally.
Sign me up. I'm first to watch.
But anyway, I love trash. The World Cup is going on. That's a controversial topic.
It is. I don't know anything about me. I don't know anything about me either, but like, I don't think anything about the World Cup, so enlighten me.
Well, it's in Qatar this year, and you know, they're very, very anti-queer, and so I mean, the current controversy, like, more micro, because there's a more macro one too, but more micro is that USA and Wales, who had a game today, for us it's Monday, all right, and they were going to wear like their rainbow kits, like with rainbow numbers, or then they like went down to wearing rainbow captain's bands. But basically they told them, like, yeah, you do that, you're gonna get a yellow card. And so they opted out of doing that, because obviously, like, they're not, well, not obviously, like, to everybody, but as a soccer player, they made this decision, like, I'm not gonna like sacrifice this, you know, game for my country for this protest, essentially. You know, they put, I guess, in a way, country over doing the right thing for queer people. I don't know. It's complicated, right? Yeah. I don't know.
Like, how are you an ally when you could also be arrested and put in prison, and then, like, or you can get, for them, it would just be yellow card.
But right, like, right. Exactly.
Honestly,
so it's like
they should have done it.
Yeah. They done it. I mean,
fuck it.
It's weird. It's a weird place to put people in, especially when it's like, it's, these are mostly and allegedly and supposedly a bunch of straight men, right? Like,
allegedly.
Yeah, that we know of.
That we know.
But today, on the exact same day as that, the, you know, when the team decided not to take that stand because it would be, you know, in like the expense of the game for them, they had Iran playing against England, and all the Iran players refused to sing their national anthem in protest to what's going on with women in their country.
Wow.
Like, and they, when they go back home, they could face,
it's not
real,
the same vibe.
Real consequences. And they did that shit, you know what I mean? So today, Iran was braver than the USA. At least their soccer teams is what I'm talking about, obviously.
I mean, it's insane, too. Like, they're not going to get home and it's going to be totally cool for them. It's
right.
it's not going to be cute.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, and was...
They're really risking their lives for that.
Yeah. It was intense. It was quite a moment. And I will say they lost very badly to England, but they got two goals in the game. Like, that's... To me, I'm like, whoa, you got two goals against England. Like, good job.
Is England really good right now?
England's really good right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But in slightly different news, Women's World Cup is also coming to Australia and New Zealand this summer. It's coming summer, but for them it's winter, and yours truly will be there. So
what the fuck, you're going to Australia, dude?
I'm going to New Zealand specifically.
New Zealand is so much better, dude. It's so much safer.
Is it? I don't know anything about it at all. Like, I'm literally only going because the U.S. women's national team is playing their entire group stage in New Zealand. And I was like, okay, I can go to New Zealand for a couple weeks. And that's that.
What? Ballin'. Go take pictures of everything. I want, no, that's Fiji. I'm thinking of Fiji, not New Zealand. New Zealand's where they filmed Lord of the Rings. That's kind of
yeah, they have that Hobbit town
thing. Yeah. Yeah, that's all I know about. Other than that, I just think it's beautiful out
Lord
there.
Lord is so from there. That's all I know. Lord.
Lord, exactly. Nord's from New Zealand. Gotta listen to Lord while you're down there. Frolic. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, yeah, I'm going to a bunch of games and it should be fun. And yeah. So if you guys are going to be there or are from New Zealand, hit me up and give me advice, because I don't know anything about New Zealand.
Damn, you're just going there for soccer? That's like real deal.
Of course. I love women's soccer. Like, that's my whole identity for the past few months. That's the real reason we've been on hiatus.
Oh, okay. No, I'm you've joking. Been a U.S. women's soccer commentary specialist. I don't know what.
Well,
shout out that.
Yeah, not just the U.S. women's. I mean, all our like local NWSL teams I've been watching, and we have international players. We have players from New Zealand and Japan, and yeah, a bunch of places.
Whoa. Yeah, like to me, women's soccer is like super foreign. I'm more like women's basketball. But that's because our producer Glow.
Fair.
But like, yeah, women's soccer to me is probably like a whole new world, the way like K-pop is a whole new world to you. Like,
that's, I'm like, whoa. That's what that's I would compare thing. It to. Yeah. It'll take up your life. I'll tell you that
K-pop
much.
For athletes. That's what
it Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of queer women and like a lot more, I think, sportsmanship and a lot more pride and protests, you know. And like morals always. In women's soccer always. Than in men's soccer. So
I'm quite proud.
I'm quite proud of ACFC. ACFC is my team. So
ACSC?
FC, Angel City Football Club, which is the local Los Angeles club.
LA?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Angel City. That's cute. Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I like that.
If you guys are in the LA area, like starting in March, or the new season begins, I would highly recommend. It's like the queerest, like safest, most beautiful vibe, and this banter is going on way too long. We should get started soon.
right
right, an episode. Right yeah
we came to do an episode. Let's have a more in-depth conversation on Patreon. That would be like a fun time to catch up, because we haven't talked since then. I don't think it's just kind of like, are you okay, are you alive, yeah, cool,
sort of, yeah.
Okay, so let's get into what we're going to be talking about. Mine came out a minute ago, and yours came out recently. I'm excited about yours because you're the one that put me on.
Mine came out like 4 years ago, technically.
Season two?
No, season one.
Oh,
obviously.
Okay.
Yeah, like the show came out like 4 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, and season two just came out, yeah.
And for those of you that don't know, today I'm going to be talking about Do Revenge. Am I the... I'm
talking about warrior nun. Nuns that are warriors. Hot sexy nuns with guns. I think that's the same. Sexy nuns with guns.
That's what they call themselves. It's fucking funny. Like, I'm just a badass nun. Like, what? Like, that's so random. I love it. I don't know. Anyways, we'll get to that when we get to that, because that's a fun time. But today I'll be talking about Do Revenge. I guess I'll go first since it came out like way before, like in September.
Before season two, yeah.
Before season two of Warrior Nun. So today I'm going to be talking about Do Revenge. Came out in 2022. It's a Netflix movie. One of the things about this movie, before I get into anything, it was like almost 2 hours long. I don't think any teen rom-com needs to be 2 hours long. No offense. Great movie, but 2 hours, come on. Give me back like 25 minutes. It was directed by Jennifer Caton Robinson, who also directed Gina Rodriguez in Someone Great. This is her second film, and she took a lot of inspiration from like Clueless, Mean Girls, fucking 10 Things I Hate About You, just any 90s or early 2000s teen rom-com that centered like teenage girls. You can see the inspiration throughout the movie, but at the same time,
it's there,
but it's not quite doing the same thing that those movies did in the same way. But we'll get into that later. It's starring literally everyone that's on a TV show right now. Everyone, I'm talking
on
everyone.
A teenage TV show. Yeah.
on a teenage TV show, starting with fucking Stranger Things with Maya Hawke, who plays Eleanor. That's such a gay name. Camila Mendez from Riverdale plays Drea Torres, our, you know, Regina George Latina of this movie. Austin Abrams plays Maximus from Euphoria. We love, he really took Nate and just put him in another movie. So shout out to Austin Abrams from Euphoria. One of our favorite Nepo babies other than Maya Hawke is Talia Ryder, who plays Gabby. That's Eleanor's love interest in this. Sophie Turner makes like a random cameo and steals the whole movie for me personally. She plays Erica.
Oh my god, yes.
And she does not do cocaine, okay? Like,
she doesn't Sophie, know what it looks like. Erica's,
she doesn't even know what it looks like, okay? Come on. Riz Shaw plays Russ. He's also in Miss Marvel. And with an amazing random only adult person in this whole movie, Sarah Michelle Gellar plays the headmistress, aka Buffy, aka Scooby-Doo, aka like the woman of my heart in the early 90s. Like, I loved Buffy. I wanted to be Buffy, and I have the biggest crush on Michelle Gellar, like Sarah Michelle Gellar. Like, I love her. She does no wrong, and she's one of the most right things they did in this movie, because they did take some elements from Cruel Intentions. Especially,
it's
like,
a very inspired movie. Like, it's very, yes. You know, like, taking elements from all of this stuff, but making it its own aesthetically. I don't know.
Yes, making its own aesthetic. And, like, speaking of aesthetics, like, they took a lot from Clueless, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. But
one particular outfit, though.
Dude, the outfits, actually, they said they took the outfits literally from South Korean schoolgirl outfits. Mm. And I do see that, but the color scheme is giving very, like, Miami, as it is set in Miami. There's palm trees in the background. There's Latinos everywhere. There's Latin people just hanging out. So that's finally a thing. Like, they're just everywhere. The casting was pretty cool in that way that it was actually
the Miami
truly diverse
accent,
to me.
But whatever.
Exactly, but you know,
but it is a private, like, fancy schmancy school, so
it's a private schmancy school. But I don't know how Drea's character goes to that school if her mom's a nurse and a single mom and she somehow goes to day camp with all these kids. Like, where's your mama getting 25 grand for school? I'm asking
nurses
questions.
Nurses make good money, you know what I mean?
They do, but, like, you know, I'm like, girl, how bad is it for you? If I don't know. She wasn't giving, like, poor girl goes to private school energy to me. But that's not my business, you know?
They're
writer.
Turning around the trope, you know? They're like, you know what? Sometimes we're bad people, too.
Exactly. Sometimes, you know? And I feel like Cher did it better. I feel like Regina George did it better. But anyways, let me get to the plot. So the story is about Eleanor and Drea meeting at, like, a summer tennis thing. Drea happens to work there. She gets her nudes leaked by her ex-boyfriend Maximus, and she's feeling a little spicy, a little zesty. She wants to get revenge. And because Eleanor also, we'll get to her later, Eleanor and her meet, they bond and share, I don't know, the wrath of the mean girl. Like, both of them are, like, secret mean girls on the inside, and they want to get revenge. They take the whole plot of this whole movie is based on a very gay thing also. Shout out to Patricia Highsmith, who wrote Carol. She also wrote Strangers on a Train, which later got turned into a movie made by Hitchcock, where two men meet on a train, decide to switch murders, thinking, hey, we won't get caught if we're not, like, connected to it. And shout out Patricia Highsmith, because, you know, wanting to kill people is pretty gay. I don't know, like, why would you want to be obsessed with someone
enough
homosexual to get revenge
activity? Oh
yeah, that's pretty gay to me. Like,
that's
I've never been mad at
it. Might not be that gay.
no, we're never that gay. Like, you know, repressed gay from the 1950s. That's
old school.
Yeah,
gay.
That's the vibe. Yeah, it's giving, yeah. So the author of Carol just so happens to write this book, and this is what this is based on. Again, this is all, they're drawing from a lot of inspiration in this book, in this movie. You know, like, Clueless was based on Emma, Cruel Intentions was based on, like, oh, fuck, what was that old ass, like, it was an older movie with the same kind of premise as Cruel Intentions. I can't remember it at this moment. I knew I should have wrote it down. But anyways, all of these things are based on other things, and they all do them better than this movie. No offense. Movies are really hard to make. This movie was very inspired. This movie was a lot of style, and I feel like maybe too much substance. You know, like, the movie lacked comedic timing. It lacked, and I don't want to drag this movie. I really liked this movie, but that's kind of like what it was missing for me. It wasn't that funny.
I'm so surprised. I thought it was funny, and I thought it did, you know, it being in a genre of films that have been done before a thousand times in a thousand different ways, and I thought that it was still, like, refreshing. And I was still...
No, that it was. It was refreshing.
And I was still surprised. And the humor's not perfect. And, like, yeah, there's definitely those moments where you're just like, okay, I get it. You're a cool millennial or whatever. Or, I mean, a cool Gen Z. But in general, I think what's really saved it for me, or maybe overshadowed everything for me, was, like, the relationship between Drea and Eleanor. Because it was complicated. Yeah. And I thought it worked really well. And I think because I saw so much of Mean Girls in that movie, like the Lindsay Lohan transformation from, like, goody two shoes to popular bitch, like, was almost identical what Eleanor went through, right? Even though she had her ulterior motives to begin with, like, it happened to her anyways, you know? Like, we're none of us are not susceptible to the bullshit. And I don't know. Sorry, the Sophie Turner thing. I thought it was fucking hilarious.
To me, that was the funniest part of the whole movie.
To everyone, I think that moment. Yeah.
For everyone. Okay. I'm not wrong there. I think she stole the whole movie. I think, like, no one else lived up to her scenes. You know, I think maybe, like, to me, it was maybe the writing. Because, you know, Tina Fey wrote Mean Girls. Like, that's... You can't...
Tina Fey is not a perfect person.
She was... You know, that bitch is funny. Like, Tina Fey can, like, she's hilarious. And Mean Girls was, like, its own thing. It was never inspired. It was inspired by, like, you know, SoCal teenagers. But at the same time, they, like, made up a vernacular. Like, no one actually talked like that. She just made it up on the fly and said, I want to reinvent Emma, but make it different. And I want to make a modern day Emma. And I feel like maybe this movie was taking from too many places to be original and funny and unique. Because, like, Mean Girls was its own thing as well. Very much based on those 90s, like, teenage rom-coms, but it did something different, you know? Like, it took away the romantic comedy portion of it and just made it comedy. And I feel like this one was, like, I don't know, it spoke more to my millennial soul than it did. I don't know how it spoke to the Gen Zs. I'm pretty sure it connected with them. But it did, like, all the issues that they put in the movie did hit, and they did, like, make sense, and they stuck, because it was a very modern understanding of, like, American culture. Like, that was on the nose for me. Like, that whole... I wrote this down because it was the most ridiculous thing, but it was so on par to the way that, like, cancel culture supposedly is handled today, you know? Like, so Max... this horrible character who leaks his own girlfriend's nudes, and then he's the victim because, you know, that's how society works in America. I mean, not in America, just all societies. He creates this club called the Cis Hetero Men Championing Female Identifying Students League.
right.
That within itself is just, like, super on the nose. It's brilliant. But at the same time, it's like, you know, for me, it lacked something. And it's all there. Like, the way these characters are dressing, the way these characters are acting. Maybe to me, Camila Mendes' character, I feel like Drea could have been meaner. Honestly, she could have really just, like, really, really gone for it. You know, the way that Alicia Silverstone was, like, completely over the top and clueless. Like, I think I wanted something different from the movie than what it gave me, but I'm totally cool with what they were doing. It just didn't hit for me because, you know, I grew up on Clueless. Like,
maybe that's the disconnect then, because if this movie is made for Gen Z are not us.
They don't know Clueless.
We didn't grow. Yeah, they didn't grow. We grew up on Clueless and Mean Girls, and like mean we know girls. It like the back of our hands. They didn't, right? So for them, like, they might get a couple of references, but it's not going to take over their mind when they're watching this movie, and it's still going to feel good, and it's still going to feel refreshing. So for me, it worked completely.
Mm.
Like, it was, yeah, it was cool. It was a good movie. And when I watched it the second time, I was a little bit like, this is literally Mean Girls, you know what I mean? But but I like Mean Girls, you know?
I love Mean Girls.
It's like Mean Girls sans, did it better. Sans the problematic stuff, you know? And like in a different setting and with people that are not white, you know? Like,
yeah, no, let's talk about like let's talk about the good things it did. Like the actual diversity in casting was amazing. Like to have a Latina lead and a queer lead, that's pretty fucking amazing. Their chemistry was amazing. I mean, they're should have been gay right there.
Like everybody thought so that they were gonna be everybody, a couple, right? Because like the promo,
at least kiss, like.
They, there was together, definitely moments out. Where they could have gotten away with a friendship kiss, but like whatever.
We wouldn't have called it queer bait, okay? Queer baiting is like fun, okay? When it's when you know what
queer baiting is, like real life know. People, humans living their life can't queer bait you.
No, real people can't queer bait.
No, this is an action that happens in fiction.
Yes,
by with assholes.
Characters, not humans. Characters, and you know what? Queer baiting in real life. Yeah, it's a blast, okay? Y'all just not living that, right,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, literally, like, it used to be, like, the funnest thing. Like, if I'm over here thirsting after Tenoch Huerta, like, don't call me straight baiting. I'm just having fun, all right?
It's just silly, goofy fun. Like, we're just having a blast out here, okay? Like, it's not, we're not actually, like, straight baiting, you know? Like, if I call a dude fine, I'm 100% joking. Like, I mean, you're not butt ugly. That's what I mean. And, like, you know, bare minimum, but...
I just mean that you're the king of an underwater country, a nation that goes to battle with Wakanda. Like, that's all that means.
Yeah, that just means you're fucking cool and we adore you. Like, keep doing what you're doing, okay? Like, we love you.
No, but yeah, like, this whole thing with Heartstopper that they, like, forced this dude to come out of the closet. Like, absolutely not. Everybody chill the fuck out. Like, no actor in the entire world owes you their sexuality. I don't give a shit if you're out. You don't have to have a rainbow flag in your bio for you to play a queer character. Like, enough of that. I don't know. I'm tired.
I really don't. Like, I would prefer, like, queer actors get that, but then
I
it's
want
called
queer actors
casting.
To get roles. I want them to be able to be queer without, like,
being typecast.
Without being typecast or without being, like, excluded from things. Like, without.
That would be nice.
Like, or just generally, like, I know plenty of people that are, like, openly queer, openly everything, but they just don't want the, you know, random strangers on the internet to know. And it can be as simple as that.
And that's very, like, fine. Like, I mean, I think that's why, like, the Gaylers are getting upset because, like, they keep wanting Taylor Swift to come out. And I'm like, she's not fucking up her bag. Like,
yeah, do you
allegedly.
Know how much money she would use? I mean, lose?
She couldn't sell in China anymore, period. Like, imagine that. Like... That's a bag.
Honestly,
like, I'm not
lucky China
bag.
Because that last album was trash. No offense.
Yeah, dude. I mean, as a Swiftie, I like four or five songs, but it's literally not my favorite Taylor Swift album as a Swiftie, as someone who is going to her show for a reasonable price. I am
well, on Capital One.
Fuck no. Like, somebody else had, you know, six tickets, and I'm the lucky six because I'm a Swiftie. Allegedly, I'm a Swiftie. Allegedly. So they say. But, yeah, dude, like, people don't owe you their sexuality. They're acting. Who cares? Do your best. And that sucks. I mean, I think that has a lot to say about also where, like, his mental state is. It's pretty fucked to be that young and that on the internet and under all that pressure. Like, I can't imagine what that's like to be that young and to be like, well, fine, I'm gonna give you my sexuality. Like,
yeah,
my
that,
man, I hope
like,
you're going to therapy.
And like, you can't even like date in peace. You know what I mean? Like, just because he dates a girl, like, everyone's gonna be pissed. You know?
Yeah, like, it's I mean, come on, Leonardo DiCaprio is always dating girls. We're not questioning his sexuality. Bradley Cooper has a whole baby mom, but, you know, allegedly, whatever. Anyways, Aaron Rodgers allegedly is also a straight man.
Nick
but, you
Cannon
know, whatever.
Is producing children left and right. He and guess what? Like he can just cult, do that. Allegedly. I mean, honestly, we are making fun of him a lot. So that's a bad example. But anyways.
Yeah, not him. But, yeah. You know, like, no one makes fun of, well, they all make fun of these people, but they don't use their sexuality. And yeah. It sucks. You know, I hope he goes to therapy because, like, that's a pretty strong response to, like, internet chatter. You know, like, people are going to talk shit every day of their lives, whether they, you know you or don't, you know. I hope he goes to a lot of therapy because it's rough out here.
Yeah.
So, sending love.
Definitely.
To him.
The point being, you know. For example, Maya Hawke in this movie being an amazing queer character doesn't like have to go out here and tell us that she's queer or not. So,
no, yeah. And same with Talia Ryder. I mean, we didn't need any like, you know, Talia Ryder. We saw you hanging out with Rosé.
But yeah, but
are,
we
girl.
Already know.
We know, girl.
You don't have to
we
say
not
anything.
Judging you. We not outing you either. We saw you with Rosé from Blackpink. But did we say something? No, girl. We know. We just... We ain't gonna do that to you.
That's between
anyways,
us
back-
and you. No, I'm
anyway, shout out to this. But that's what makes Due Revenge so great is that, like, there is no, like, homophobic-ness to it. There's the gay girl gets to be gay. You know, like, yeah, okay, maybe she's not being gay with the person we want her to be gay with, which is, you know, we want Eleanor and Drea to, like, they have energy, okay?
Yeah.
And what did we learn? The only thing I learned from, like, hanging out with actors is that chemistry is real, y'all. Like, you can't fake that shit. You can try. You can hate each other.
That's why they have chemistry tests.
But the chemistry is a real fucking thing. Like, you can't force that shit. Even if you hate each other, do you have chemistry though? Like, okay, cool. Then y'all
that's
y'all
a different
can
kind
make
of chemistry,
something.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, the spicy chemistry.
Some fun chemistry in my experience.
The spicy kind, right? Like, but you know, and that's what Due Revenge does very great. Has actual diversity, lets the lesbian be gay. Like, she kissing girls on screen, Cruel Intentions style, but it's actually gay? Yes, we love it. You know, there's a twist at the end. I'm not going to give it away. But I mean, when you see it the second time, you're like, oh shit, like she wasn't even like hiding it. Like there were hints throughout the whole movie. Like,
yeah,
the whole movie.
That's what I like about it. I don't know. I thought it was really well done. Like the twist part, at least.
No, the twist was great. It's based on a Patricia Highsmith fucking novel about gayness. Like, I mean, anything Patricia Highsmith did was like homosexually repressed. I'm sorry, go. There's another one she made. Anyways, we'll talk about that on a different episode. But it's gay, it's fucking diverse, it has a realistic approach to like cancel culture in 2022. Like, it's what's actually happening, and I think that's very hard to do, is to put that into a movie and make it funny. But I think even the director had like their own little spiel on cancel culture that I actually agreed on, where it said like, you know, we can't like cancel everyone, like some people can come back and redeem themselves or whatever. I don't believe that for everyone, but like I do believe that for like each other as humans, you know, like you can't. I think even directors in Hollywood, they want to poke fun at cancel culture, but it's never actually been a real thing, and it's still not happening. The only people getting canceled are black women, period. That's
yes.
How it works. It's
literally
never
the
actually
only people you ever hold accountable. Like it's not Taylor Swift, let me tell you that.
It's never going to be Taylor Swift and these $20,000 tickets, even though she has the power to actually move that. But no, she's not going to do that. Okay, girl, do your thing. Fuck you. Do your thing. But I'm actually really pissed off about that. And I mean that. And you know, they're never gonna cancel Taylor Swift. They're never gonna cancel fucking, you know, these dudes.
They're just
out here,
gonna
doing...
come after Lizzo, come after Beyonce. Like,
it's always black women, dude.
Yeah,
it's never going to be like white women, white men. No, it's literally only black women that get canceled in cancel culture. So a white woman to say that, I think that was weird. I think it lacked self awareness on her part. But she did make a cool movie, and I hope. She doesn't, like, you know, I don't mean that, like, I completely agree with her statement, but I also agree that, like, that applies to everyone except black women in media. The way they come after all these women and black women, it's completely, if you look at it, you'll see it, and it's there, and it's for very stupid small shit, not even anything that, like, you know, men get away with murder, especially white men with power and money. They get away with all types of crazy shit. So that's my little soapbox. I'm getting off of it. The movie was okay. I liked it, but it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't for me. But it doesn't mean it takes away from how well it was shot, the storyline, what it was based on, all of its beautiful references. That's what made it really fun for me, was the references. I was like, that's Clueless. That's something Cher did. That scene is exactly from fucking Clueless. That's a Mean Girls reference. Like, oh, does she even go here in the bathroom? Like, fun scenes, fun things for me, fun things for Gen Z. Yeah, I actually don't give it that low of a rating. I'm only going to give it 4 out of 5 pandutas because I still really liked it, and we need more of it. Continue making shit, and movies are really hard to make, so I hope she keeps making shit. What about you?
Yeah, this was a step up to me from Someone Great or Something Great. Yeah. What are that movie was called?
Yeah,
I really liked it, and I also, yeah, I almost want to give it like no cafecitos. I think the only element that was maybe missing for me is like the characters feeling like they're from a certain place. I would have never guessed that they were in Miami. I'll be real with you.
Yeah, could have been anywhere.
Like, half cafecito, honestly. Like, I would give it no cafecitos if it didn't feel unjust to other things that I've rated. But I really like this movie. I rewatched it again, and I was like, oh, you know what? This is legit for what it is. I guess I don't take it that seriously.
No, yeah, I don't either. That's why it's not a perfect movie for me by any means. But I love what it's doing. I love that it exists. And we need more of it. And I hope that she keeps making shit and it keeps getting better like this is. So,
yeah,
you know, fuck yeah. I'm so excited about what you're going to talk about today. Let's go.
I know. I'm going to try to be fast, even though I wrote 5 novels. Why are your nun? It's taken the freaking stage, right? Like, yes. Weirdly enough, because it got zero press at all. Like, how did I even find out season 2 came out? It was probably like through a bunch of lesbians liking shit on Twitter. So yeah, what the fuck, Netflix. Yeah, it just came out, season 2, like a week ago. I don't have exact dates to you. I'm like poorly prepared on that, in that way, you know, just like Netflix. So
ooh.
Warrior Nun was created and is show ran by a man named Simon Barry. He's a Canadian filmmaker who has a lot of sci-fi experience. So, you know, that's probably why it doesn't look that bad, because some other sci-fis on Netflix leave a lot to be desired.
Yes, they do.
The show is loosely based on a manga series called Warrior Nun Ariala. Ariala? I don't know. It follows basically a woman who was dead and she's being inadvertently brought back to life by a magical halo that was like guarded for a very long time by a group of nuns.
You're laughing.
Yeah, because it's silly, but
it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's a group of nuns and Catholics, an organization called OCS, and basically, this halo that has accidentally gotten to this woman is usually carried by a nun. It's a nun who's been training to do this their entire life. And she's training so that she can use it in the name of the Lord. You know what I mean? Like, that's why we're doing this shit.
Oh, man.
But the transfer of the halo happens rather suddenly. And in the middle of battle, basically, because these nuns are not your regular fucking nuns, man. Like,
hell no.
Like, they will kill you if they have to for the Lord. So,
for Jesus Christ.
So what we end up with is Ava. And Ava is played by Alba Baptista. She's a Portuguese actress. She's really, really good. Really, really charming.
What I do know about Alba Baptista, I learned against my will on Twitter because apparently Chris Evans is dating her. And that's how I heard about Warrior Nun, because of the Chris Evans stance. And I didn't know I followed any. So,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, a 41-year-old dating a 25-year-old is making the waves. It's a bit
controversial. I feel like date is also a very strong word for whatever is happening there. But
let's be real. I mean,
let's be real.
Alba is an impressive person. She knows like a ton of languages and she does her own stunts, which is a saying a lot.
Speaks German.
Yeah.
Spanish, Swedish,
Portuguese, English. Yeah. She's great. I get it on her, on his
I
side.
I mean, no. We get her, but him?
Him? You know, never thought I would be saying that about Chris Evans, but yeah. So anyways, Ava, the character, she discovers, she like, you know, she comes to life and she sort of, you know, starts discovering her powers, which for anyone would be very overwhelming because like, you know, nobody should be able to survive the shit that she survives, you know, immediately after getting her powers. And she, but we find out very quickly, and this is not that much of a spoiler, so, but I'm sorry anyways. But we find out that she, prior to dying, was paraplegic. She hadn't walked for like 12 years. She hadn't moved anything for 12 years, and she'd been stuck in an orphanage, funnily enough, with a bunch of nuns who didn't like her, even though, like, exactly what was she going to be able to do, you know?
Yeah.
So when she basically escapes or, like, runs off with this halo, because somehow she's, like, alive and able to walk, she's going to, like, soak in every moment of her life, right? She's just like, I can run, I can drink, I can do this, I'm like, I'm free. She's like, she doesn't even want to go to sleep because she's so excited, like, that,
oh, yeah.
That she's alive. However, the OCS is like, yeah, we're gonna need you to come back and prepare for war. And she doesn't take that well. But yeah, so the first season, it kind of just goes on to focus on, well, other than explaining the OCS and the world that they're living in and the Catholic Church's involvement in this, like, weird supernatural stuff. More importantly, it goes into Ava's past and how she reckons with, like, how she died and what is now being tasked of her, which is literally fighting demons and things like that.
But not, like, her personal demons, like, demons. Like,
well, no,
come
her personal
out.
Demons, too. What she finds out is she has to fight her personal demons in order to fight real demons, which is pretty wild, pretty, like, lovely little thing they did on this show. But, yeah, in the meantime, we also get to explore other nuns in the OCS and their pain and their motivations because, as Beatrice, one of the nuns, says, everyone has a past. Ooh, so
we love her.
We love Beatrice.
We love her.
She's Beatrice, she's the first nun that gets Ava to see, like, the OCS and the people, like, the other nuns, as more than just these people are who are there to use her and abuse her. Because, you know, that's what she's been used to in the orphanage that she's at. She's, like, surrounded by these people who just see her as a burden. And she's now the opposite of that, right? Like, she's now this crucial figure in the Catholic Church, in a way. You know, but it's a big journey for her to move past her selfishness, and it's very understandable selfishness because she's only selfish because she's been stuck in a bed for 12 years, right? She's not like, she's basically being asked to re-imprison herself, but like now she's learning how to kick ass. But like, yeah. Still she's asking, you know, they're asking her to like die again too, because that's a big thing with warrior nuns that they say is like, warrior nuns, they die for you. They are like, you know, little mini Jesus Christs or whatever. So yeah, in season one, other than Beatrice, we also get to know Mary, who is or was like sort of a companion for the former warrior nun who just died. So obviously Mary's pissed. She's grieving, but she knows what's at stake and is also, along with another person, Lilith, is having to go and get Ava back from her little walkabout and her running away and stuff. Lilith is also pissed because Lilith is one of the nuns that has been training her entire life to be the warrior nun, to have the halo, to be the halo bearer. And here Ava comes and she's just like cracking jokes left and right. And she's like, just wants to run away with like a group of random people and party. And so, yeah, this is two very pissed off people and complicated humans kicking a lot of ass and going after her. And yeah, but what I like majorly about it is that Like, everyone that I've mentioned in the story so far, except for Ava, is not white. So, like, like, you didn't have to, like, you didn't have to do that, but thank you. Yeah, it was, it's great, but I know what we're here for. Let's talk about the gay stuff.
Hell yeah, season two, let's go.
Even season one, that's what's so great about season two, is that everything is set up in season one for it to, like, pay off, for it to be more satisfying, because, like,
it's true.
I'm gonna try my best not to spoil it, but I am gonna use some examples from the show, because that's what we're talking about, in order to explain what makes the relationship special. But okay, so basically in the first season, Ava runs into, like, this group of, like, youths who are, at the time, they're on her wavelength, you know, they just want to be free, have fun, live life, blah blah. So she's sort of, like, in the first season, following this guy around, but it's a very shallow sort of relationship. There's not really much to it. But then, like, towards the end of the season, like, when she finally starts accepting herself as a warrior nun, accepting Jesus Christ into her heart. No.
yes, the Jesus. No, yep, everywhere.
She finds the comfort and support that she's been sort of, I think, seeking out in these other people. She actually finds it in Beatrice, who's another nun. And they contrast just in the best way, because Ava is made up of 90% jokes and then 10% everything else. She's very charming, very witty, and of course, because of her circumstances, she's, like, all constantly living her life like it's gonna end that same day, because it could. And Beatrice is opposite. Beatrice is very stoic, very serious,
very careful,
feels the weight of the world on her shoulders. Like, you can feel it when you're just looking at her. And what ultimately bonds them is that they both care a lot about other people and each other eventually. So yeah. Like, when Ava is facing her own demons, her demons being the fear of being left alone again, because that's what she's been her whole life, you know, Beatrice is there like, yo, these nuns are ride or die for you. Like, you're never gonna be alone again, even if you're paraplegic again. Like, you have us forever. And, like, it's, like, so healing for Ava, which, like, then you get the opposite side of that, right? Because Beatrice has had this community with her all this time, and she's this badass warrior, or not warrior nun, but she's a nun who is a warrior. One of my favorite scenes in season one, towards the end, is Beatrice kind of comes out to Ava, but, like, through a story about a previous nun who was also queer. Because so far, every single nun has been queer. Yeah.
Very gay.
And it's a lot. Yeah, and all of them have their little companion.
Oh yeah, their companions.
Yeah. So yeah, anyways, she sort of comes out to her through the story and kind of elaborates and insinuates that she was placed with the Catholic Church because her family rejected her for being gay. So even when this within this organization where she's made herself fit, she's never felt accepted there. But Ava, pretty much, like, just by existing and just by being there, and then, you know, in that moment kind of validates her, is able to make Beatrice feel like, you know, like she does belong and, like, there's not anything wrong with her. Because she's like, you know, don't feel bad about who you are. Who you are is beautiful. That, like, whole line. Like, yeah. So they've both done to each other, like, in within the span of, like, one episode, been able to, like, validate each other's existence. And, like, they barely know each other. Like, that's crazy. And that they're setting that up in, like three episodes to the end of season one. So then that basically, after that, they're just kicking a lot of ass. There's a lot of action stuff that I didn't pay enough attention to. But
that's the part I like, too.
Yeah, I know all the parts that you like. But they earned it. They earned this, you know, I'm not going to spoil, like, what happens. But when they get to season two, they earn this episode one where they're completely away from everything in season one. They're in a different country, they have jobs at a bar. You know, like,
it's very fan fiction.
Yeah. They've run away together and it works, and it still fucking works, like, really, really well. Even when we get in, like, this new guy named Miguel, who, like, we're like, oh, okay, here's the new love interest, here we go. He ends up in many ways just being, like, a tool for moving the story forward and for testing their relationship. and like they end up like really flawlessly becoming the heart of season two.
Yeah, because they do.
Yeah, because it's like no longer about trying to convince Ava to be the warrior, and she's already in it to win it. It's instead it's about figuring out what that means to her and her relationships. So like what she's fighting for changes, and you see it even in the fight scenes, because like they're still really, really, really good for one, but also like they're really emotionally charged. So even when they're just like killing a demon, it's also yeah. like giving information of like, I love this person.
Yeah. Know?
Or they're able to like read each other's actions really well, or like they look for each other during the battle. Like it's a love story through and through when it comes to season two, especially even when they're fighting. Like that's yeah. crazy.
Every post fight is like, oh my god, like
yeah,
like you said, it all of season two feels earned between them. Like it's not rushing anything. It feels at the correct pace.
Yeah, I mean there's even like little moments like in the first episode where she kicks the shit out of this dude to get the demon out of him. I don't know how to explain it. And the demon comes out, and then it starts going through towards Beatrice, and she like sees it going over there, and she like screams like this guttural scream, at which like, you know, because she has a halo, it destroys it. But I'm like, damn, you're like screaming for your girl, and like, and you saved her. Like, damn, that's crazy. That's crazy, bro. That's gay as fuck.
That's yeah. so gay.
But yeah. To get a little less deep about the show for a moment, though, like just that whole first episode of season two was like just delightful, because
fluffy.
Yeah, it's fluffy. Ava gets to be the one that like brings things out of someone else this time. You know, it's always people trying to change her, but yeah. in this one, she gets to like force Beatrice to like
have a drink.
Like drink and dance, and they even make nun jokes together, and and has her acting like a jealous boyfriend, you know.
Like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're just like constantly like alluding to their relationship in like every little way, you know. Like it just gives you a lot. Like they're always like somehow physically touching in some way. Like I get it, because I also have attachment disorders, like, and it's like, yeah, it's all leading up to this moment at the end, which, spoiler alert, they have to like face the fact that they're gonna lose each other. Oof. And you know, they like, they really earn everything. Do they earn their little smooch moment? They earn their little I love you moment. Like all of that is like way better because of all the little tiny moments between fights, between like brawls. Like, yeah, it's just, it really held up, dude. Like
there was like this one embrace where I was like shook. I was like, oh my god, were they going to kiss? But like somehow that yeah. hug was better. That hug was like, she like smelled her. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, y'all bitches in love. Like, oh my god, my heart. I was like, I hope these bitches never break up or die, because like, oh my god.
Yeah, I know. Emotionally invested. the one where she falls and she like her halo gives out. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, everyone thinks that Ava went in, not to spoil everything, sorry everybody, but everybody thinks that Ava went in for a kiss, but Beatrice avoided it, but like it was natural. Oh. You know what I mean? So I think,
yeah, like they just cut, like it felt like they were going to kiss, but like somehow that like embrace was like way better than like a kiss would have been in that moment. Like I know what scene you're talking about, where like she goes yeah. in, but like Beatrice just like not even paying attention. She's just like trying
yeah,
to hug
exactly.
her.
She just didn't do that, and I think a part of it is because Beatrice is. I think Ava's gotten to the place where she gets it, and then Beatrice is still in the place where like
she's kind
of
slow.
That and no, I think like, she's so used to repressing and like not even having that as an option. And in her mind, I think she's just like, it's not possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until Ava forces it, she's like, no.
She's like, hold up now, we're gonna do this, okay? Like, we've been I'm wanting to do this goodbye. Anyways. Yeah, she's like, no, we're gay for each other. Like,
yeah, I completely love the writers for giving us like that goodbye, but then it wasn't goodbye just yet. Like, they basically gave us two goodbyes, to which I was like, thank you, because I wasn't ready.
No, I mean, I wasn't even ready at the end, anyways. So like,
yeah.
Season three, like, come on. Season three, like, pull through something. I actually really, really liked, I mean, the whole thing. I skipped over season one because it was very cheesy and corny and ridiculous. And I was like, I'm going to go watch the last three episodes because of you and this conversation. Because I binge watched this in like a day and I like...
Season two? Yeah.
Yeah. Like season two, I watched in a day. Season one, I was like, oh my God, this is...
No,
like,
season
hard.
One is a setup for season two. Like even the gay is like barely repressed. You know what I mean? Like it's all out there. Like especially... Like episode, I think it's 8. Yeah.
I'm going back to watch the last couple episodes because that seems worth
watch
it.
Watch the whole thing again. Like, I didn't even like the first season when I first watched it. And then
really?
I didn't even like it at all. Like, I was telling everybody, like, I was like, Warrior Nun sucked. And then, like, I went back and rewatched it. And I realized when I watched it the first time, I didn't really watch it. You know what I mean? It was one of those, like, in the background things.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's how I was watching season one. Season two had a lot of heart to me, like off bat. But I mean, it's because season two had that opening episode where, like, again, it was establishing. Oh my God, that was so hard for me to say. The relationship between Beatrice and Ava and how, like, it's in a different place. That they're very intimate. Like, you're just like, word? Like, how do y'all not know that y'all in love? Because I can see it. Anyone can see that shit. Like, that stranger in that bar that walked over, she saw it. Like,
yeah. She saw the shit out of it.
She was like, she's like, I love drama. Let me go be the cause of it. Yeah. I love that. I love that energy. And that jealous energy that's just kind of, like, cute. It's not,
my
like, crazy
favorite.
Jealous.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, who's that over there? Mm-mm. No, yeah. Let's not do that.
But it was earned. The thing is that everything in season two was earned by season one, which is like something that I didn't realize until I went back and watched it. And I was like, from the first time that Ava and Beatrice talked, like, they've known that this was going to be a thing since episode one.
Really?
Yeah. And you can tell. You can tell every single, like, interaction between them. It's like...
charged.
It's, yeah, it's like... there's potential here. And yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, look, now I'm gonna watch it because I love watching other people's chemistry. I'm like, ooh, what's this? I mean, like, it's the heart of the show. Like, I really skipped over the scenes about Adriel because I was like, this is ridiculous.
This
and
guy.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Men talking? No, thank you. Like, and Miguel, he was just there to, like, cause drama between them. So I was like, okay, I'll let him talk because, well, who he ended up being was very interesting to me too.
Yeah.
So...
it's going to be very interesting from now on, too, because, you know, of where it ended. I don't want to give it away, but now everybody's like, what's going to happen to the person who the thing happened to at the end? But
yeah, we don't know. And that's why we need a season three. And so y'all need to go fucking watch season two. Like, and I'm going to watch season one, I guess.
Like, and tell everybody that you know to watch it because, like, Christina Dontre Young, who plays Beatrice, is single-handedly carrying the entirety of Warrior Nun promotion on her back. Netflix hasn't done shit. She's out there doing, like, interviews, like, every single day, even with independent podcasts. Like,
oh,
it's
wow.
Basically grassroots promo, and she's just the only one doing it.
Man, shout out to her. Look, these fight scenes? Oh, my God, dude. Okay, I'm fake, y'all. Mytha told me to watch this show, and I was like, okay, I'll watch it. And then I fucking watched it, and I was like, oh my God. Like, this is all of the things that speak to me. There was, like, really good fucking fight scenes, lots of my Catholic baggage. So I'm just like, ooh, is that an angel? Ooh, is that, like, Jesus? Like, ooh, is that, like, this person? And, like, love it. And it's gay? Like, what are we mad about? Like, it speaks directly to me, and I wasn't giving it a chance. So shout out to Mytha, because, like, I had to text her today and be like, dude, like, what the fuck? I love this shit. This shit's so good.
I had to do that to myself. So, like, anybody that ever wrote off Warrior Nun, you're forgiven. I bless you, Warrior Nun
I
style.
Bless you as the OCS Warrior Nun. what are we, like, freaking
sister nun
diplomats?
Sister
Mytha.
I swear to God, this show is so dumb. Whenever, like, Ava,
oh my God,
Ava's character is out of pocket. She went and, like, blessed the little kid, and Beatrice just grabs her, and she's like, "That's too far."
This show is wild. Like, oh my God, there's
funny.
Like a pope. There's a Pope in it. Like, it's, like, ridiculous and, like, yeah, it's a fun ride. And you try to explain it to someone. I was trying to explain it to Glow, and she was like, what? That sentence, like, I'm like, yes, I understand. I just said that sentence out loud to you, unironically, as the plot of this, but it's really good.
Just trust me. Just trust.
I mean, yeah. Like, there's an interdimensional portal, and like,
God, that's Lilith? There's a reason I didn't get into that. It's that. Don't ask me about the science. Don't ask me about
nothing. Of it was making any sense.
All I know is the relationships and the character growth.
Period. Period. They're like the whole soul of it. Everything else is just like ridiculous to say out loud. It's just
side
like
fun.
Work.
Side,
yeah, things. That's like not even the plot to us. Yeah. That's just like, okay, I guess there's a story happening while they're in love. Okay, like that's
they're
that's
also
the
gonna
story.
Save the world, but like the point is that they kissed.
Yeah, that's yes, that is like the entire point. It's like that's why I watched it, because like they're making googly eyes at each other. So I'm 24/7. Interested. I'm fully interested. So like, good. Why are they hugging again? I'm watching this like
for no reason. Yeah. Okay, yeah,
it,
well,
but it was great. Yeah. I give season 2 5 panluzes. I don't know about
yeah.
you.
Yeah, zero complaints. I wish they had brought back Mary for a second season, but I understand that it worked without her.
It wouldn't have worked.
And I hope I honestly don't know what's gonna happen for season 3. I have learned to accept that this might be all that I get. And that if there's season 3 happens, that it might be very different. So
yeah, y'all gotta watch it. And if it doesn't happen, then well, I'm not gonna blame us completely because of what Netflix is doing to queer media. Right. So yeah. It is
it's
what
not
it is.
On us. Just know it's not on us, and just know that like it's beautiful. Even if it stops right now, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it even if it stops, this was like a nice ride to get on. You know,
at least we got 2 seasons. That was more than I expected. R.I.P. First Kill, R.I.P. Teenage Bounty Hunters, Paper Girls. What else? What else in the In Memoriam? Yeah, no.
In Memoriam to every gay show that came out recently. Fucking our Skate Girls. What are they fucking called?
Oh, Skate Kitchen Girls. Yeah.
Skate Kitchen Girls. We love them.
R.I.P. All right. Well, guys, we've held you long enough in this podcast return. From hiatus, keep us accountable, like tweet at us or something. We need motivation to actually do more episodes.
Yeah, we do. We've been life is getting harder, y'all need to tweet at us.
Yeah, but
yeah,
@CYC podcast on everything except for Twitter. If it dies, we'll see
you on Instagram.
Yeah,
fuck, I don't want to use Instagram. Bye.